shot! Oh, baby, what a play!
This is Jeff Fedotin with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I discussed the 2023 NFL draft in Kansas City. Hope everyone out there had a happy Passover and a happy Easter. For Passover, Joe, my wife put all the bread or leavened products in a crate in my office, so it's out of the kitchen, out of sight. Anyhow, my dog got trapped in here today. So while it's gone, he ate through a bunch of oats or pancake mix flour. So it looks like I'm in Tony Montana's suite with powder and cocaine. I'm going to everywhere. I'm going to text you a picture right now of what it looks like.
Oh my God, Jeff, that's pretty funny. Dogs will do the darndest things, won't they? Pets sometimes, man, I'll tell you.
Sadly, or maybe for the best, that this is audio only for most of you out there, so you don't get to see this scene. Now to the football matters at hand, Joe. Before we get to the draft, some housekeeping items regarding two Giants wide receivers. Odell Beckham Jr., who some thought could end up in Kansas City, has signed a one-year deal with the Ravens. But Richie James, who was on the Giants last year, was signed by Kansas City, where he'll play with former Giants wide receiver Kadarius Toney. Joe, your thoughts on all this?
Well, you know, I wasn't sure if Odell Beckham was going to be the right choice for Kansas City anyway. Right. So in my own personal opinion, my own humble opinion, I should say, I just didn't think he was going to, I just didn't think he'd fit in. I think that would have been a waste of good money based on what the value I think they could have gotten out of him with the injuries, the way that I think his chemistry would have fit in with this organization. I just think, I don't think it would have been the right choice personally. I mean, I think he's had some great years and there's been some great stuff he's done out on the field, but I was kind of glad to see them pass on OBJ. Richie James is an interesting one. He's never been a full-time starter in his, I guess he's going into his fifth year now. He started some games, had a good run in 2020 with seven starts. And, 2019 actually was a good year, probably statistic-wise, for like a yard per reception and, things like that. It's just an interesting one. It could be a depth thing. See how it bodes for some of the other, reserve wide receivers that they do have. Anytime, of course, first thing I always think of when they're looking at receivers, I think of how it affects I almost call him my college classmate. Like he's got, I got 30 years on him, but how this will affect Justin, fellow Quaker there. Anytime they sign a receiver, that's the first thing I think of.
Yeah. And Joe, I agree with you on both these points. First of all, I think Beckham, I actually really like the Beckham signing for the Ravens. They need a dynamic playmaker out there. I think it's smart for them. For the Chiefs, I don't think it's a good, they don't need to something to revolutionize the offense. They just need pieces here to fit in what they've already got going. And I think Beckham, between his injuries and sometimes he's had some issues in Cleveland with just meshing with the team and some of the other places, I think it's not worth the risk. I totally agree. You had said that from day one and I'm on board. And Richie James is just I think people are so anxious for a big receiver signing after losing Hardman and Juju and not having, maybe the most, and then losing, of course, Tyreek Hill the year before. I think Richie James is a solid signing. He had 57 catches for 569 yards last year. Solid, not spectacular. He's good in the return game. I think it might be that fans were expecting something big, a Beckham or a Hopkins. And, it's a little anticlimactic in that sense. And a good question of whether that affects Justin Watson. I think Justin Watson was so solid on special teams, never made a mistake. I think Richie James might be a little bit more dynamic, maybe more of a big play guy, but I'm not sure this precludes them from signing Watson. You know, let's hope not.
Yeah, let's hope not. I mean, you know, generally they're keeping, you know, 5, 6, you know, sometimes 7 receivers, depending on the offense and whatever they decide to do with fullback, right? With Michael Burton leaving, you know, you wonder if they're going to go back to having a fullback on the roster.
Yeah.
So maybe they use that position for, you know, another wide receiver. Maybe they just weren't getting their bang for their buck out of that roster spot. So, you know, maybe that does, this all bodes well for having a pretty substantial stable of receivers, which, you know, bodes well for everybody that they're signing and trying to re-sign, right? And trying to get Justin back into the fold, so that he doesn't, they don't lose him to another team in free agency, which, you know, that's the one thing I worry about. For some reason, I just have a sinking feeling that the longer this goes for Justin, the less of a chance he has of coming back to Kansas City.
Yeah, that's so, what I think too. And I still go back. I mean, you know him, you know the family, so you can better speak to this. But, you know, I keep thinking if I were Justin Watson, I've got 2 rings now. You always want to get a ring, but maybe really just chase the best offer at this point, which hopefully is back in Kansas City. But
yeah, we know that wide receiver, you know, isn't the longest position from a tenure perspective that, you know, that's out there. You know, you start losing a step here and there and, you know, the game passes you by. Same with running back, right? I mean, it's just, you know, it's one of those positions where you got to make your hay while you can. And if he can do that exactly right with what you said, he's won 2 Super Bowls. He's done it with 2 of the best quarterbacks of a generation. And so, he did it in 2 really cool places, right? Got to do it in the sun and the fun of Tampa, got to do it in, you know, the NFL royalty, you know, NFL kind of a blue blood, so to speak, of a team like Kansas City, you know, with a lot of history. So he's done it in with the unbelievable fan base. So he's got everything on the resume he needs right now. He's the first University of Pennsylvania player to play in a Super Bowl. So he's got a lot of things ticking for him right now. So, you know, you're right. It could just come down to money. And you know, how could you blame him for that? Right. Especially when you have these short tenures at positions like wide receiver and running back.
And I really feel he's got to make his money now, Joe, because if he has to fall back on this Penn education, God forbid what his post-career would like it.
Yeah, there's going to be nothing waiting for him on Wall Street, you know, Wharton degree. But, you know, it is time right now, you know, and he can strike all the irons a little bit hot. He's got lots of film, got lots of time this year, made some good, great catches. So, you know, the time is definitely right for him.
And we're going to get back to the NFL draft here, breaking it all down. But first, BetOnline remains your number one source for all your basketball betting this season. Get analysis of every play, prop, and point at BetOnline. You'll find the latest odds, playoff contests, team matchups, and game trends at BetOnline. Updated odds for everything from live games, playoffs, to play-in games, right through the NBA Finals. BetOnline is your basketball headquarters this season. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Be sure to use our promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, to receive your bonus. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Well, Joe, for the draft that is in Kansas City, I'm curious who you think the Chiefs will select 31st overall. And just a reminder, it is 31 overall. Normally it would be the 32nd pick because they won the Super Bowl. But the Dolphins forfeit a first-round pick in that whole Tom Brady tampering thing. So 31 overall, who you got, Joe? I know you were feeling some Quentin Johnson vibes the last pod.
Yeah, I mean, I keep waffling, and as I'm sure a lot of Chiefs fans do, about where is their biggest need. Mm-hmm. I don't think Quentin Johnson's going to last that long. Just my own, you know, mm-hmm. just my thoughts on knowing his measurables, you know, his size, you know, somebody's going to snatch him up. I think there's some, I don't think Jackson Smith Enigma Is that how you pronounce it?
I was going to go with you. I wasn't going to try it, but yeah.
Yeah.
I've been struggling with the pronunciation.
I don't know him as well. I don't know, Njigba, I guess you pronounce it, but mm-hmm. I didn't see a whole lot of Ohio State this year.
He hardly played, if at all. You know, he was so good last year, especially in the bowl game, but he was kind of, going on his tape last year because he was just injury plagued and sat out a lot of games this year.
And that's somebody that they're going to probably want to stay away from. And then, there's a huge, to me, from a receiver perspective, there's a big drop off after those two. I mean, I know, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, I guess I'm just going to throw that out there. I know he could go high because of his, this to where people have him kind of slated to go, but I just don't think they're going to be around. And then, like I said, if the receiver, there's a big drop off. And I think, maybe it's a Jordan Addison from USC. I mean, won the Biletnikoff Award with Penn in 2021. He transfers to USC, goes and plays some Pac-10 ball. I think he's, I still call it the Pac-10. I'm dating myself. I think he's a guy, or even Zay Flowers out of Boston College, right? I mean, he's definitely got maybe the speed that they need, and his route breaking ability. So, he could be somebody could fit really well into the, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, offense. So, if they go receiver, I'm thinking either of those two, Zay Flowers or Jordan Addison, if they're able to, if they stay around long enough, and receiver is what they want to go with in the first round.
So are you feeling, Joe, that, and another name I'm going to throw out there, I don't know if he's a first-round guy, but it might be a second-round guy. Jalin Hyatt, really interesting, was really good for Tennessee, a speed guy. Man, if they could get a vertical threat to add to what they already have, boy, that offense is scary. Joe, you nailed it. I remember a few years ago that I guess it must have been the 2020 NFL draft, and you said, I thought, Andy Reid, he never drafts running backs in the first round. And you're like, no, I can't remember if you nailed both the position and the player, but that was the year they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and that was a great call. So are you feeling wide receiver then by what you, or are you just giving that as one option?
I don't see a whole lot out there in free agency at this point. I mean, it's April. They're going to want to get some players into minicamp, running some routes. I think there's other positions that, might be a little bit better in free agency than receiver at this point. And I think that's where they're going to go. I think they've been very happy with Sky Moore and the way that he developed. And if they can do something similar to that and get a speedy guy, I love that. Because Jalin Hyatt and a lot of the air quote rankings is probably not rated as highly as some of the other receivers, but he's probably one of the fastest. And if that's where, I love your insight into that, Jeff. That if that's where Patrick, like he's the general manager, right? Brett Veach, I've taken over for Brett Veach. But like if Patrick is pushing for some speed, then Jalin Hyatt is probably the guy that would jump up. Because he's probably the fastest. I don't think Tank Dell, which obviously what an oxymoron that is, right? His name is Tank. He's probably one of the smaller receivers in the draft. I don't think he's going to be a first rounder. He definitely has some speed, but at that size, man, I just don't know if that's going to hold up. And then you get like a Josh Downs out of North Carolina. He's kind of like a slot. He's more of a slot type. If they were maybe looking to replace a Juju or somebody like that, it was a little bit more possession-y. They might go for that if he's still around. But I love your thought on if they don't go for the wow factor of like the ratings of where like a Zay Flowers or Jordan Addison are right now, just because of their pedigree. I think Jalin Hyatt could be a player that they, look to try to create some Legion of Zoom mojo again.
The other thing that's interesting, there's a couple interesting things about this draft. It's supposed to be one of the most unpredictable. All the pundits are really having trouble pegging who goes where because there's just so much up in the air. So often Brett Veach has traded out of the first round. I think there's a little bit of pressure for him with the draft in Kansas City that I expect that the Chiefs to pick in the first round, maybe trade up, but I don't think they're trading out of the first round. I think they would really have to like what's going on. I think there's going to be some pressure on him to on this big stage to have the Chiefs pick. Yeah. And the last thing I was going to add, Joe, is that, you know, you're right on needing receiving help. I'm not saying first round, but I could see the Chiefs taking – so Daniel Jeremiah with the NFL Network, who's really good, said on his press conference with the media, this is the best tight end draft in years, probably in the last decade. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce is getting up there. I think he's going to be 34. Maybe and, you know, Fortson's been good and Noah Gray's been good, but, you know, they're not Kelce. I'm not saying they do this in the first round, but with the kind of depth, tight end depth, I could see them maybe finding an heir apparent to Travis Kelce in this draft.
Yeah, and they're all big school tight ends, and they all look, you know, they all look like Travis Kelce. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of small school tight ends. I mean, there's, you know, a couple of guys, you know, in the top 10. That are, you know, smaller school guys like Zach Kuntz out of Old Dominion, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, wow, does Old Dominion, you know, have a football team? Like, everybody's like, Old Dominion. but, you know, he's definitely somebody from a small, but you look at the tight ends, they're all big school guys, right? I mean, Tucker Kraft out of South Dakota State, but they're, you know, we know that they're a, you know, they're a dominant FCS 1AA team, and he's a beast. I mean, he's somebody they could maybe take a chance on in the second round. I mean, I'd love to see him go for a guy like that kid out of Georgia, the 6'7" guy. He's like 275.
Oh, the Washington guy.
Yeah, Darnell Washington. I mean, he's a biscuit away from like 280.
I love him. He's such a good blocker and like really athletic. What's nuts, Joe? He is fantastic. And he's the second best tight end on that Georgia team. They have that Brock Bowers kid who next year is going to be a real high pick. Yeah, but I really like Washington.
But it, you know, that could add an interesting wrinkle into the offense, right? If you now all of a sudden you go away from the Travis Kelce, Fortson, you know, Bell, kind of like really, they're kind of like, let's really be honest, they're like slots, right? Mm-hmm. They're like slot receivers. I mean, yeah, they can block and they'll mix it up occasionally with some outside linebackers, but they're not, you know, they're not running tight end traps or anything. But man, you get somebody like a Darnell Washington coming in, and you know, the height, the size, it gives them a target in you know, for a fade route in the corner into the end zone. It's 6'7", you know, big body. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's that could be a sleeper, and I think he'll slip. He's not going to go in the first round. He's probably going to be a mid to late second round pick. So he, you know, that's somebody that's another good one. And of course, Jeff, of course, I'm going to be partial. If there was ever a time that the Chiefs were going to draft somebody in the first round, draft an offensive lineman in the first round, it could be this draft, you know, at home, you know, it's in Kansas City. Everybody's going to want to see a big dude get up on the stage, you know, take him out for some barbecue afterwards, see if they can uncover another Creed Humphrey or Trey Smith, and you know, early on in this draft, and that would be really nice, especially with the hole that's left at tackle, right? So there's definitely some linemen out there that I think could really come in and could actually, you know, get it done. I mean, you know, this kid Skoronski out of Northwestern he's not going to be around. I mean, he's probably going to be the first. He or Paris Johnson will probably be the first lineman picked. You know, there's definitely some, I think there's some solid, solid guys down in that 20, you know, ranked in the 20 to 30s range. I mean, this kid, Broderick Jones out of Georgia, is an absolute, you know, he's a beast. I mean, he's a ferocious run blocker. You know, some of the pundits call him like, you know, one of the bullies of the offensive line draft. But and he can pass block. So, you know, and he played at Georgia, right? I mean, he's got an SEC schedule. So, as do most of the, you know, most of the linemen generally are coming from the big schools, other than this kid Skoronski at Northwestern. Not that that's not a big school, but, you know, I know that, you know, offensive linemen, you know, Ohio State, Tennessee, Georgia, Oklahoma, right? Ohio State, you know, big dudes coming out of those big schools that I know generally don't get fired for drafting a guy like that, unless it's, of course, Tony Mandarich out of Michigan State back in, you know, 1990 when I was coming out.
Do you have a favorite guy kind of in this draft? Maybe not even a guy who necessarily will be available when the Chiefs pick. You really nailed this 2020 draft. I mentioned Edwards-Helaire. You love Tristan Wirfs, and boy, he might be the best tag. Is there a guy like that in this draft for you? Somebody you really, really like?
I kind of like this. I mean, of course, I'm going to be partial to the linemen. I really do like this Skoronski kid. I think he's probably going to end up a guard, even though he played his career at tackle. He's kind of just like the complete lineman. He actually looks a little bit like Creed Humphrey when he plays, but obviously he's not a center. But he just has that body type like Creed. He's big, he pushes people around. He's not as long. So I could see him going inside and actually flourishing. And that's why I kind of picked him as one of my favorites, because I think what'll end up happening is he'll end up like going in at guard and being like, and just all of a sudden he'll have a couple of bumpers on the side of him, right? With a guard, with a tackle and a center, and be like, holy cow, where was this kid hiding, right? That's where I see him. He's probably better, even though I haven't seen him play inside interior, he's probably better than any of the other interior linemen coming out in this draft. It's not a great interior lineman draft at center and guard. So I don't have anybody that's really lighting the world on fire for me, interior, centers and guards. I think it's a very good tackle draft, but like I said, He might end up, you know, the Skoronski kid might end up going out and playing, or he might go inside and play guard, maybe even center, based on his size, and just all of a sudden he might be the next Creed Humphrey.
Joe, so glad you mentioned Skoronski, not only to give my Northwestern Wildcats some pub, but talk about a segue. This is so my favorite story of the draft. Who I could see the Chiefs, I would. Picking maybe in the second round. He's not going to go in the first. But not sure necessarily my favorite player, but favorite story. I'm going to try and write about him after the draft. Adi Tamiwa Adibare. And I wrote this down phonetically in my notes so that I get it correctly. Hard to see with all this baking powder and flour all over the place.
It's like a snowstorm in your house.
But anyhow, a perfect segue, because he is also a Northwestern guy, Joe. 6'2". 282 pounds, and it's a great story because he went to North Kansas City High School. So how cool that he's going to be drafted in Kansas City. It'd be really cool if the Chiefs took him. But, Joe, listen to these numbers. So he's 6'2", 282 pounds. He ran a 4.49 at the Combine. Fastest time for someone under 270 pounds since 2003. He broad jumped 10.5. Which is tied for the second since 2003. And his vertical was 37.5 inches, which was third in that time. I mean, wow.
Unbelievable. Those are some amazing stats, buddy. that's pretty incredible. The speed at which these guys can move it's out of control, right? I mean, it is absolutely out of control. You know, you get an edge rusher like that with that kind of size who can bull rush, he can speed rush. I mean, the world is going to be his oyster if he gets into the right defense. I think if he slips that far, he could be a surprise. He could bump up. I know there's a lot of pundits are projecting him mid-round or There might be somebody who would take a shot on him after that combine and those numbers. They might take a shot on him late in the second round, maybe even the middle of the second round. I mean, I could totally see it.
Yeah, I actually think he would be good value for the Chiefs. You know, they need some defensive line help, like late in the second round where they're going to pick. First round is really a reach just because he was a good player, but he didn't have the production that you need from a first rounder, despite those, he had a good year. He had five sacks in a shortened college season for a guy who's, 280 and play that much on the interior is a solid season, but, not somebody who should be a first rounder for sure. Mm-hmm. Joey, speaking of, defensive line, I think that's the other area the Chiefs, I could see them, targeting early and often. I like the Omena, who's signing a lot. Carl Loftus seems to have a very bright future, but I think they need some more bodies there.
Yeah, I'm trying to put myself into Brett Veach's, put myself into his shoes and figure out if they're gonna go inside or outside. Like you said, the Omenihu signing was fantastic. I think they've got all the confidence in George Karlaftis. I think he's going to be, knock on wood, he's going to be sturdy and durable. It's probably going to have to be in the inside. Mm-hmm. Then, just looking at the depth chart and where it is now, I'd have to say they're going to have to go interior to try to beef up some depth to give Chris Jones the spells that he needs, support Derek Nnadi and what he's doing, and, see what they can get out of Danny Shelton. That's not making me overly happy about what's going on the defensive front.
Mm-hmm.
When I see the lack of depth, right? When I see what that did for the Eagles, obviously we beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl, but I think it was a big, big thing for them to have that kind of depth last year. And I think it's really why they were, led the league in sacks and really dominated defensively. So I could see them trying to sneak somebody either in, the second round, or maybe that's the first round pick that they go after. If somebody slips down on the board and, you get somebody that, that they like and that has the measurables and, that they could pull on. I mean, obviously guys like Jalen Carter, not going to be around. Mm-hmm. But, I can't wait to see what he does.
I could see him going super early. I could see him dropping because all the issues, he had the bad workout. Of course, he had that major issue with the street racing incident where somebody died at Georgia.
Yeah. It's a shame because, I mean, you see him when he picked up that one, running back and like lifted him up in the air and like put up the number one sign. Like, come on. The guy was like holding like a grown man. Like he was holding a kid. Like, I think he's going to translate really, really well to the NFL. They can just get him, get him under control. But I think there's some, if Brian, I think you pronounce it Brissy, from Clemson. I think if he he's a guy that can move. He pass rushes well. He did come back from an injury, but what defensive lineman hasn't? Mazi Smith out of Michigan, I think could be hanging around right there in that 31 pick if they wanted to go there. He's, some people compare him to another Chief, Dontari Poe.
Yeah, yeah.
So he gets a lot of comparisons to Dontari. So, that could be somebody that in the back of somebody's mind, like, yeah, he fit in pretty well in the Chiefs' scheme. So, maybe Mazi Smith might. Big dude, 337 pounder. And that's like his program weight. Who knows? Who knows what he'll weigh in like November after Thanksgiving? he might be at 350, but he's a really, really good athlete. So, should be interesting to see what they do there too, to try to get a big guy in the first round on the defensive line front as opposed to the offensive line front.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting to see, Joe. I'm excited for it. I should be there. I was doing a story on it. They're expecting around, this is a ballpark figure, depends on weather, everything, but about 300,000 people to attend and should generate about $100 million for the city. So a really exciting time.
That's pretty amazing. Now our pool is who do we think are going to be making some of the announcements?
Right.
Is it going to be, Will? Is it going to be Timmy Grunhardt?
That means you haven't been called, Joe. Have you? Are you just playing coy?
I did not get the call. I petitioned when the draft was in Philadelphia to see if I could do a Chiefs pick.
Oh, fun.
Never went anywhere. But yeah, I'll be anxious to see who comes out and makes the call. Maybe John Alt comes down.
Oh, that'd be great.
From Minnesota, right? I highly doubt it. He's not your extrovert.
I could see Will.
Will's. Yeah, totally, time. totally. Will. Will's probably gonna be one of the people. Will. I could see Timmy. The Chiefs have such great ambassadors. I mean, I could see Danan, maybe popping in there with his radio prowess. There's a lot of players, obviously, that live in the area that would be great at that. Just be interesting to, have a little pool to see who what the odds are of what former Chiefs who are in the area, or maybe Christian,
that'd be great.
Pulls one out of the hat. So that'd be fun.
Well, if you enjoyed this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.